Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. Well, there's a lot of questioning going on up on the Hill. Peter Strzok, remember him? FBI agent who said, we'll stop Trump. He was behind closed doors yesterday. Today, in front of all the world, FBI Director Christopher Wray, Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein, answering an awful lot of questions. Now, my question is always when we deal with these things is, what does it really mean? What's being said? I will tell you that Jimmy Galliano, who has become a wonderful friend to this program, a retired supervisory special agent for the FBI, is joining us to offer his perspective. Jimmy, thank you so much for making time for us today.
Jeff, always. Wouldn't miss an opportunity to talk to you about important things, so I'm glad to be here.
Well, it is our pleasure. It is our honor. Shall we start with Mr. Strzok? Now, Mr. Strzok is still an FBI agent, right? He hasn't been suspended or anything like that.
Yeah, Peter Strzok had actually reached the level of deputy assistant director. So he was the number two in the counterintelligence division at FBI headquarters. Now, once the text messages were revealed and he was removed from the Mueller probe into Russia collusion, once that happened, the FBI moved him over. It's kind of similar to what happens in when a cop gets put on a desk assignment. So
yes.
Basically what they did is they slid him over to the Human Resources Division, and he worked in there. I'm not certain he took a cut in pay or lost a pay grade for that. I still think he maintained an SES, a Senior Executive Service level, but I'm not certain about that.
Okay. All right. So he goes up. He's testifying now in front of a congressional committee, but it's behind closed doors. What do we think he was asked, and what did he say?
Yeah, I thought that was interesting because apparently he spent about 12 hours on the Hill yesterday. 10 of those was in front of, the House committee, and then two of them were in a separate, an executive session where I guess they discussed classified information and things that couldn't be discussed at the prior closed-door meeting. So I'm not certain if it had to do with the clearance levels of certain congressmen or congresswomen.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure what that reasoning was, because I thought the whole purpose of doing it behind closed doors is because they would be discussing classified matters. But again, he spent 10 hours in front of getting grilled, I understand, and then spent two additional hours in a special classified setting. So, interesting. I'm not sure how to read the judicial tea leaves on that or what that means, but I do know from watching the hearings today that Deputy Attorney General Rosenstein and Director Wray were subjected to, that the Democrats were spoiling for the transcript of the original, 10-hour session to be released to the public. So we'll see what happens with that, with some of the gamesmanship that goes on with that.
All right. Jimmy Galliano is joining us, a retired supervisory special agent with the FBI. He is sought out by everybody as an expert in this and other matters, which would explain the ringing phones. And again, we thank you so much for choosing us for a couple of moments here, Jimmy. Are you getting any sense then? The president said, hey, Strzok didn't answer questions. We knew he was evading stuff. Does the president actually know what happened there, do you think? Or is he just kind of pontificating?
Yeah, I mean, he shouldn't. But we know that the way things work on Capitol Hill is anything that's able to be leaked at some point in time will leak. Now, whether or not he has that on good information or not, I don't know. I heard a couple of the questions that were posed by some of the congressmen today actually articulated that and essentially said, hey, Peter Strzok yesterday relied on his FBI attorney to say, on the advice of counsel, I'm not in a position to ask that question. And some of the congressmen, I think Jim Jordan was one of them, pushed back hard and said, why is the FBI, why is the Department of Justice determining what Mr. Strzok is able to supply us in a closed-door session when we have oversight of the Department of Justice and the FBI. And that will be a question. People will retreat to their sides of the political continuum and take their positions on that. But I think that's going to be a question and a debate that you're going to hear in the oncoming weeks as far as what questions he was unable to answer and what the reasoning behind it was.
All right, sir. So let me ask you, Jimmy, you spent a career, a distinguished career inside of the FBI and the Department of Justice. Could you imagine any reason why a Department of Justice attorney or an FBI attorney would say, even behind closed doors, to the agency that is responsible for funding and overseeing the DOJ, no, I'm sorry, he can't answer that?
Yeah, you know me, I'm not a fence sitter or a nuanced guy, Jeff. I call it straight. But you and I, having been former law enforcement, understand we don't want anybody to take the fifth, right? We want people to, you know, come forward and tell the truth, and we don't want anybody to. When you're in law enforcement, we look at it as shielding yourself with Fifth Amendment protections. But we also recognize, having worked in law enforcement, that that is something that every American is entitled to and afforded by the Constitution, and
yes.
and it is a right. So I'm guessing the things that I heard through channels was that Mr. Strzok was, and I think the verbiage was, chomping at the bit to get an opportunity to testify and was looking to do it without a subpoena.
Okay.
Of course, they would have subpoenaed him regardless, but I'm also certain that he probably surrounded himself with attorneys, as he should, and those attorneys are always going to tell you what's the best thing in what's in your best interest as opposed to what the rest of us want to hear. I mean, the president's been saying for a long time now he wants to testify to Robert Mueller's investigators.
Yeah.
But we know that no attorney worth his salt that's advising him would advise him to do so. And I think that's what this case is. I think the interesting thing is going to be more so along the lines of what was redacted from the original text messages that were released, as well as some of the things that came out in the IG report, because a couple of the congressmen today pressed Deputy Attorney General Rosenstein on that. And there was actually a couple of test exchanges. One of them, again, was between Jordan and Rosenstein, where Rosenstein basically said, I don't make all those decisions. I have a team that works on that. As we're going through the evidence, or we're going through things that Congress has under subpoena that they want the Department of Justice to turn over. And he says, I don't have my finger on every bit of it. Now, I am in charge of it. I get that. The buck stops here. But if you think that I put my finger on the scale, or that I personally said, we're going to redact this for personal reasons, you're dead wrong. And I thought that was the right thing to do. I have great respect for the Deputy Attorney General. I never worked with him. I can't say I know him personally, but everybody that I came in contact with in the Department of Justice that had worked with him said he was a straight shooter, and he'll call it straight and do the right thing.
Well, let's talk a little bit about that. Jimmy Galliano is joining us, a retired supervisory special agent with the FBI. You mentioned brilliant attorneys a couple of moments ago. You've got two brilliant attorneys, Chris Wray, the FBI director, and Rod Rosenstein, the Deputy Attorney General. Your sense of that questioning, have they been forthcoming? Have they been trying to skirt any issues? And I'm going to ask the question, try not to laugh when I ask it, just how political has the circus been this afternoon?
Yeah, I mean, Jeff, the theatrics, you know, it's beguiling to me. I get it. They're politicians, and that is their job. But, I mean, some of them, and I'm a huge fan of Trey Gowdy. I mean, I've been a huge fan of his during his time in Congress. But some of them spent their entire 5 minutes just basically giving an elocution, or basically, you know, giving their own treaties, or, you know, basically lecturing the witnesses. And I think we've moved away from what congressional oversight and what congressional hearings were designed for. They were designed for Congress to bring people in under subpoena, put them under oath, and have them testify. But often that happens, these things, there's a lot of grandstanding. I mean, the Democrats did it with the separation of children from families at the border. They
Yes.
used an opportunity, a number of them, to do that. And then on the Republican side, they used it to kind of batter the FBI and batter Comey and batter, you know, the Department of Justice. And I think really it turns into, as you said, a circus as opposed to a fact-finding mission. That's
Yeah.
the disappointing part. But we know that these folks aren't investigators. I mean, they have a role and a responsibility. They're a co-equal branch of government, and they have over oversight over the DOJ and oversight over the FBI, but I don't think any of us, you or me or any of your listeners, actually thought that we were going to come out here today and have really learned something from what took place.
Do you think that at the end of the day, Director Wray and Deputy Attorney General Rosenstein look at this and go, hey, I would have been better off spending the day taking a couple of strokes off my golf game, or I just had to do this because we had to do it?
Look, I am lucky. I'm lucky in a number of reasons. I'm lucky that my wife said yes to me, and people scratch their head and say they don't know how that happened. I'm also lucky that I was never subject to an IG investigation. I'm very lucky on that because I can't even imagine being scrutinized that way. And I'm also lucky, Jeff, in the sense that I've never had to testify before Congress.
Yeah.
That is a daunting endeavor, and even though you're a political appointee, you know, which what those two individuals are, but, you know, they both were career public servants. And even though you know that it comes with the job, you're representing the Department of Justice, you're representing the Federal Bureau of Investigation, it can't be an appealing thing to know that you're going to be, I mean, CNN, the network that I work for, covered mm-hmm. it pretty much almost gavel to gavel. I mean, obviously they broke away with the news of the shooting in Maryland, but
yes.
They covered it. C-SPAN has it on. People are talking about it. It's obviously topical. So, yeah, I think they'd much rather subject themselves to root canal with no Novocaine than actually go in there and do that. It cannot be a pleasant experience.
Is this the end for the foreseeable future, do you think, or is there going to be another one of these events soon?
No, sir. This is not. This is Jeff. You, if you and I stay in good stead with each other, this will be something we will be talking about in perpetuity. And here's why. There are two more IG reports that are hurtling to a conclusion. But when I say hurtling, I don't mean possibly anywhere in the near future. One of them is looking directly into James Comey and some of the decisions he made during his 3 years, 8 months, and 5 days at the helm of the FBI. The second one is a probe looking into the probe of the Russia collusion, the Russia meddling case. So you've got two consequential IG reports that are going to come out, and I think you'll see the same fanfare, the same circus, the same retreating to intractable corners by the people on the left and the people on the right that will see of those things what they want to see. But I don't think we're done by a long shot. I think we're going to be talking about this for the foreseeable future, sir.
Wow. And by the way, this is one of the reasons, number one, we love having you here, but I also encourage people to watch you on CNN, to follow you on Twitter, because I think that you are able, as you analyze this, to embody that statement that I've heard from darn near every FBI agent I've ever encountered, which is that the FBI is politically agnostic. You are calling balls and strikes, my friend.
Yeah, and I think that is so important. I think Director Wray has done a great job of getting out in front and making sure that the American public understand that during this battle at the top where you see people, you know, from the president, you know, to Director Comey, to former Obama administration officials punching back and forth, which is not a good look. I can tell you the 37,000, 38,000 FBI employees, the folks that go to work every day, the special agents, the professional support employees, the intelligence analysts, the folks that keep the cars running, the guys that work out on the gun ranges, I can promise you, they go to work every day not looking to put their finger on any scale, but to follow the evidence wherever it takes them and to investigate crimes bereft of fear or favor. Are there a few bad apples in every organization? Absolutely. I cannot name an organization that has never, ever been touched by some scandal, minor or major. There are bad apples in every crate, but Jeff, I can promise you, I spent half my life in that organization. The vast, vast majority of those people get up every morning, they strap on their gun belts, they go to work just looking to do the right thing, and I just want to, again, impress upon your listeners that they should have confidence, the utmost confidence in the men and women that are doing that.
There's no question. Jimmy, here, our Richmond field office is just comprised of some of the most professional, honest, decent people I've ever encountered. It's just an absolute pleasure that we have them here, and we're thrilled to have them. Jimmy, again, I thank you. I know that you are in demand this afternoon as an expert, and I so appreciate you taking time for us. It means the world to us, and I just thank you so much.
I can't wait till you have me back to talk about the Atlanta Braves and how well they're doing, Jeff. But in the interim, look forward to joining you to talk about more tough topics. It's always a pleasure to join you. You ask the right questions, and I have a lot of friends who are your listeners, so I know that you've got a good constituency there.
Well, fair enough. I will wear my Red Sox cap when we have that conversation, but that's another story. for another day.
Sounds good, brother.
Thank you, sir. That is Jimmy Galliano, a retired supervisory special agent with the FBI. I'm telling you, this is somebody who calls him as he sees him. I love having him on the program. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRBA.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.